Welcome, Chiefs Kingdom, to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast. I am Jason Thomas, and you might have to excuse me a little bit. I'm in this episode because I somehow have a stopped up nose and a runny nose at the same time, thanks to summer allergies and probably a little bit of a sinus infection. In this episode, I would like to talk a little bit about Byron Pringle specifically, and then move on to my 2019 offensive projections as of right now. Now with Byron Pringle, there was a lot of hype about him coming into Chiefs camp last year, coming from Kansas State, kind of a local player. And he played very good at Kansas State. He was just a little bit injury prone. And of course, he got hurt in the preseason last year, after tearing it up, the last couple games of the preseason. And I have a tendency, when a player is young like that and has a bit of an injury history, to kind of overlook them. That's just my way. I haven't seen that many players that kind of had an injury history like that, that really pulled out of it and did well. But there have been cases of that happening. And I think I am starting to turn to the positive side on Byron Pringle. The fact that he might actually be able to contribute and play. Of course, there have been a lot of articles recently nationally and from Chiefs, Kingdom about Pringle being kind of the breakout player of the year this year for the Chiefs. And of course, I've mentioned before, I listened to the Matt Waldman RSP podcast. And a couple weeks ago, he talked about the Eagles and Chiefs offenses. And I've been a little bit behind on the podcast I listened to, so I was just getting to it. And he talks about Pringle a lot specifically and how he thinks that Pringle will fill in some of the numbers from the loss of Chris Conley and possibly of Tyreek Hill. Now, I did not realize that Waldman thought so highly of Byron Pringle going into the 2018 draft. He actually had Pringle as the 11th best wide receiver in that class, which is a very draftable spot. Probably third to fourth round grade. And the Chiefs got him as an undrafted guy. And it sounds like, at least from Waldman's perspective, there were two reasons why he probably went undrafted. Now, one was the injury history, and the other was that he did not use his hands well to catch the ball. When you get to the NFL, you can't really let the ball come to you. You need to get your hands outstretched. You need to attack the ball at the earliest point you can get to it and have the right hand position and good hand strength. And Pringle struggled with that a little bit in college, according to Waldman. Now, Waldman also said that he had, heard some reports out of Kansas City, read some things and, possibly talked to some people. I don't know who all he knows. But they were saying that, Pringle had been working out with the Chiefs staff, I think similar to what Sammy Watkins has been doing, about really training their muscles not to have injuries. Basically training, I'm guessing, to lengthen their muscles so that they aren't as tight and they don't get the torn hamstrings and the quad pulls and all those leg injuries that can be associated with kind of injury-prone wide receivers. Now, the other thing I really liked to hear was they talked about Pringle, really trying to fix his hands because he knew he had a problem and that he's been working, catching a lot of balls ever since, last season. And it sounds like all that has really, at least on the outside, worked for Pringle. From all accounts, he looked really good in the activities the Chiefs have had so far. So that is why, as we go into this season, we're still a ways away, so a lot of things could change. But he at least looks to me like the third receiver on this team. Now, of course, if you throw Travis Kelce in there, that would put Pringle as the fourth option. But I'm still looking at him as somebody who's probably going to climb ahead of Demarcus Robinson and, you know, be ahead of Mecole Hardman going into this season. And Pringle is a very good route runner. I did go back and start, you know, watching a few of his college highlights. And one thing he is very smooth. And I believe he ran in the 4.5 range, which isn't exceptionally fast, but he plays, that is fast for a wide receiver. Don't get me wrong. It's just not exceptionally fast. I'm Antonio Brown running the 4.6s. So, but, you know, I mentioned Antonio Brown because that's a little bit what he reminds me of at times, because he has a way of just being so smooth, getting a corner's hips turned just a little bit and getting behind him fairly easily. For a guy that just, you know, doesn't have the Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman speed. Now, I've mentioned before in past podcasts, but as a sophomore, he averaged over 16 yards a reception at K-State. And then his junior year, his final year there, he averaged over 24 yards per reception, which is just insane. That tells you, you know, he gets deep. And once he catches the ball, he's got some moves, because you don't put up that kind of yardage without some pretty great after the catch skills too. So, you know, those are both things that really go well with this offense. So now I'd like to get to the projections for this upcoming season. And I've went back and forth on these projections quite a bit. You know, thinking about possible regression in this offense, but I really like the players that we have, even if Tyreek Hill, you know, isn't on this team. And honestly, how I figured these projections was Tyreek Hill playing 12 games. That's what all these numbers are figured to. Now, of course, the Chiefs scored 569 points last year. And a lot of that was the fact that they had to score that many points because the defense allowed over 26 points a game. And honestly, I expect this defense to be better. You know, even if they were a field goal better, 23 points a game, that's a huge improvement. That's 48 points less than they gave up last year. The problem is when I start looking at the schedule, the Chiefs' schedule is tough. There are a lot of games where if they don't show up and score the ball, they're going to have some trouble because, you know, there are very few defenses in the NFL today that can actually shut teams down. And, you know, just watching the Chiefs last year, there wasn't a defense out there that could shut them down. The Ravens and Broncos, you know, Jaguars were three of the best in the league. I think the Ravens, honestly, to me, were the best ahead of the Bears. And that Chiefs still put 26 points on them. You know, so, and the Chiefs defense isn't going to be at the Ravens level this year. You know, I'd say at very best, the best we could hope for is right at the edge of the top 10. So the Chiefs offense is still going to have to score points playing, you know, the tough schedule they have ahead of them. So basically, to get these projections, I started out with how many points do I think this team is going to score as a whole? And I thought about it. Harrison Butker, you know, made 24 out of 27 field goals last year. That was an amazing number. I don't expect him to make that high of a percentage this year. So, you know, I had him scoring a few less points on field goals. Our defense scored 3 touchdowns last year. I left it at 3 touchdowns this year. I did add in 1 special teams touchdown because we only had 1 last year. And if Tyreek Hill's returning punts, we'll be lucky to have 1 this year because teams just won't kick to him. But I do expect Mecole Hardman to be returning kicks. And I do expect teams to kick it to him. And I think a couple touchdowns are not out of the realm of possibility. And on the flip side of that, you could always block a punt and return that for a touchdown. So, you know, I have the Chiefs getting 5 total touchdowns between the defense and special teams. And kind of where I switched it up a little bit, the Chiefs had 16 rushing touchdowns last year. They had 12 the year before Alex Smith's final year. But I really feel like that number is going to rise a little bit more with the addition of Carlos Hyde and just you know, the weapons we have on the outside. Teams are just going to be spread so thin. I think Reed will run it a little bit more. And I had a scoring 20 rushing touchdowns this year. And then I have Mahomes throwing for just a little bit less. So I had this team coming in at 577 points total on the season, a little bit ahead of where they were last year. And that would be hands down, not even close, the best 2 seasons of any team in history. Hands down by, you know, well over 100 points for the 2 seasons combined. How this kind of broke down for Patrick Mahomes specifically, I had him coming in at 608 passing attempts, which is roughly 25 to 30 more than last year. And I had him completing 410 of those. So just a little bit higher completion percentage than last year, for 5,330 yards, 47 touchdowns. So not quite getting to the 50, but 47 is a pretty stout number. And once again, that would be by far the best 2-year total of any quarterback ever. And then I had him coming in at 15 interceptions. I actually almost wanted to go higher on the interception number. Mahomes is fantastic. He's got a great arm. He had a lot of interceptions dropped last year just because he throws so hard that I think defenders weren't ready to catch the ball. And I think they're going to be a little more prepared for that. And I think just because he does throw into such tight windows and stuff that he's going to get picked off some. Even if he had, you know, I almost put him down for 18 interceptions. That would have put him at 2.5 touchdowns to 1 interceptions, which would have been fantastic. But I ended up going with the 15 interceptions, which gives him a little bit better than 3-1 touchdown to interception, which is just a phenomenal number. It's not what it was last year, but last year was ungodly. And this is like not quite ungodly, basically. So by taking Mahomes' numbers, then I went down and I got the receivers' numbers and the running backs' receiving numbers. Now, I didn't do any rushing totals. I haven't looked into that at all. I haven't really made a system for that yet. As I'm honestly not sure how much the Chiefs are going to run. I think they might do a lot of them. You know, I see a lot of those extra passing attempts this season going to the running backs. So kind of an extension of the running game. Now, like I mentioned earlier, I have Tyreek Hill figured for 12 games. I had him coming in at 100 targets, catching 62 passes for 1,042 yards and 8 touchdowns. So I still have him coming in at over 1,000 yards in just 12 games. That is a fantastic season. If Mecole Hardman shows something this year and Byron Pringle shows something this year, I really don't expect either one of either Hill or Watkins to be on the team the following year. Hill, you know, we'll see what happens with his legal situation. But he's going to want a lot of money, and I'm not sure the Chiefs are going to want to give it to him. Sammy Watkins, of course, has one more year on his contract at a very high number. But I don't think you want to lose both of those guys. But you would feel better about losing one of them if some other players will step up. Now, Travis Kelce, I had leading the team with 135 targets. That's actually down a little bit from last year, just because I think they are going to go to the running backs a little bit more and use their third and fourth receiver just a little bit more. Now, I had Kelce catching 92 of those for 1,205 yards and 9 touchdowns. I had him leading this team in touchdowns and receiving yards. So basically, all three receiving categories, Kelce was the man. Sammy Watkins, I have his target share going up a little bit this year. Part of that is because if Hill does miss 4 games, he's probably going to get a few extra targets in those games. And from all reports, he's doing everything he can to stay healthy. So if he plays a full 16-game schedule, I expect him to get his fair share of targets. I had him a second on the team in targets with 112, catching 76 of those for a little over 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. So I basically had him getting, 14 more receptions than Hill, but the receiving yards and touchdowns coming in almost identical. Byron Pringle, like I mentioned earlier, I have him basically as our third wide receiver behind Hill and Watkins. And I have him coming in at 54 targets, catching 34 of those, so 34 receptions for just over 500 yards and 5 touchdowns. Now, Mecole Hardman behind him, who, I think Hardman, I think they'll use him some as a decoy. I think they'll, get him at least two or three, basically scripted plays a game, just to get his speed out there. And I'm not sold that he's going to pick up the wide receiver spot just super quick. Quick enough to get a big share of the reception, targets and receptions. So I had him going for 24 receptions, a little over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns, about 320 yards. DeMarcus Robinson, I had him with 28 targets, 17 receptions, 222 yards and 1 touchdown. So most of you know I'm not the biggest DeMarcus Robinson fan. Honestly, I don't really even have him making this team. I think there's a good shot he doesn't, but right now, probably the most logical thing is to have him on the team. Even though I like Cody Thompson, he could make this team or he could end up on injured reserve, kind of like Pringle did last year. And the Chiefs, seem to do that to two or three players after each preseason just so they can keep them through the year. Now the tight end too, I don't know who that's going to be, but I don't see them being a giant part of this offense this season. So I just had the tight end two down for 7 receptions, 60 yards, and a touchdown. Now between the running backs, like I mentioned earlier, I have the running backs getting a lot of targets, a total 122. And how I split that up was I had Damian Williams getting 56 targets, 48 receptions, just under 400 yards receiving, 6 touchdowns. I had Carlos Hyde getting 24 targets, catching 17 of those for a little over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then Darwin Thompson, I had getting 42 targets, 33 receptions, and a little over 12 yards per, to come in right under 400 yards with 5 touchdowns too. So I have Damian Williams and Darwin Thompson's, receiving yards and touchdowns is almost identical, even though Williams basically getting more playing time. If you look at Damian Williams' career, yards per reception, it's a little over 8. Carlos Hyde's is about 6.5. Carlos Hyde's number is actually, fairly low for a running back. I don't expect a lot out of him in a receiving game. Damian Williams is right in theirs. is average to good. But, you know, like I've mentioned time and again, I expect Darwin Thompson to be just damn near to elite in the passing game as a receiver. Especially, maybe not hands that are phenomenal. I actually had him just catching about 76% of his passes, which would just put him as kind of average hands at running back. But what he can do after the catch, I think, is just going to be special. So, you know, I think he will be a big part of this offense. And it was kind of funny listening to that Waldman podcast, because he had a guy on there talking with him. And that guy was, can't remember his name right offhand. But he was talking about how good the Patriots running backs were at catching the ball and how good the Saints were at catching the ball. Now the Chiefs, you know, their passing game to the running backs just wasn't quite on that level, which cracked me up, because the podcast before this, I just compared the Chiefs running backs as pass catchers to the Saints and the Rams, and there was no contest. You know, the Chiefs, for an efficiency point of, you know, from an efficiency perspective, killed the Rams and the Saints. A lot of that had to do with Kareem Hunt, because Kareem Hunt was so underrated as a pass catcher. It's not even funny. You know, once he got the ball in his hands, he's much better than a James White or a Alvin Kamara. Yeah, those guys might run better routes. They might be smoother. But once he got his hands on the ball, he was a wrecking machine. And Darwin Thompson is a similar mold. And I'm not sure that he won't even average more yards per reception, because I think his natural ability can get him to the 12.1 yards I mentioned. But I think Reed is going to have some special things schemed for him. And I do think that him and Mecole Hardman will kind of split the DeAnthony Thomas role between them, or what Andy Reid has had envisioned for the DeAnthony Thomas role the last few years. That is all I got, guys. I hope you enjoyed some of the statistical talk. I know for a lot of you, it's not your most enjoyable thing, but I will get back to some less nerdy statistical stuff next time, okay? And that is all I've got, Chiefs Kingdom. Let's go.